Good morning.
I didn't mean to blast you.
Welcome to Jenkins Cumberland Presbyterian Church. If everyone will come on in and have a seat. Do we have any general announcements, Miss Sherry? Thank you, Ms. Sherry. Debbie?
We have a guest from, I think, New Hampshire with the Lenders, and welcome her. She was with us last night, and we have another guest that's moved into the neighborhood. Her name is Janice Brown, but we asked her, and she just likes to kind of blend in, but you can pick her out. Also, welcome, Janice. I won't even look your way. There's some mistakes in the bulletin. We need to call to your attention. Session will not be tonight. Session will not be tonight. We got this printed. We learned it. People are going to have to be out of town. One thing was Sally Turco's mother, father, is sick in Florida. She had to go see him. And we need to deal with insurance. We need to deal with elders rotating on or being nominated. And we need as many elders as we can have, and we thought we were down to not even having a quorum tonight, and so we're going to postpone that, and we'll call a meeting maybe next week, maybe in the middle of the week this week. The elder, active elders will get a call. Pray for your session, especially as they nominate elders, make nominees for elders, but also you will have opportunity, at least the first week in December, to make your nominee nominations if the committee, session active committee, does not nominate the ones that you would like to see run. In the sermon outline, I wrote Sam a little note. Sam Sutter is so busy. We've just done everything, and he's trying to get ready to go to New Mexico. He is preaching this morning at Heights Church in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and that'll be based on their time a little bit later, we think. And so Paul is down at Bellevue on 96, one of our smallest churches. At one time, the Heights Church in Albuquerque was our largest church in the total denomination, and it's still one of our larger churches. And so pray for Sam as he and Nancy are there in the the beautiful Southwest and enjoying it. But in the sermon outline, there's a little note that says, also if room, print. That was a note, and we thought we edited it out or proofed it out, but it still got in there, so that is not to you. I just point that out. Wednesday, the information concerning Wednesday got in the bulletin, but the word Wednesday did not get in the bulletin. So we're still looking for that perfect worship bulletin, and we don't know when it'll happen. Maybe when we get to heaven, but down under Tuesday and above Thursday, there should be Wednesday, ham, scalloped potatoes, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We're looking forward to that. I think that's all
for me. Are there any other general announcements? Dave?
Seven o'clock.
Any other general announcements, Linda? Okay. Anyone else? Okay, let's move on to our prayer or praise request. Do anybody have anything? Mike?
I have one, but I would like it for everyone else to go before me because I have something before.
Okay. Are there any others? Elizabeth? Okay. Are there any others? Oh, Melanie.
Hour, we had a request to play for Kathy's mother, Ms. Douglas. We don't know if it's Kathy Green's mother or Kathy Duncan's mother, but Ms. Douglas.
Okay. Are there any others?
Kathy Green was here this morning.
Oh, that's right. I heard that. Are there any others? Okay, Mike.
Giving his speech.
Are there any other praise or prayer requests? If not,
stop. Right here.
I'm sorry.
Sheila.
Okay. Let's bow our heads and for a moment of silence and prepare hearts and minds for worship. If you would please stand and join in with the call for worship. Let our hearts rejoice in the God of hope and faithfulness.
Our strength is in the Maker of heaven and earth.
Our foundation is the cornerstone that never fails.
The Rock of Ages is a foundation like no other.
Hope arises as the tools of war are broken and the weak are given strength.
Hope lives when the hungry are fed and the poor are lifted up.
God comes bringing judgment to the ends of the earth, calling us to hope and faithfulness.
Come, Rock of Ages, come quickly now. Father, we do thank you for prayer. We remember that your word teaches us when men began to call upon the name of the Lord, and we thank you that we can call upon you. Lord, we come this morning to not only call upon you, but to offer praise and adoration to you. Lord, knowing that you are worthy of so much more than we can offer to you. Lord, you come be our all in all. Thank you, Lord, for being the foundation that does not crumble, but lasts throughout all of this earth and our time upon it. But then, Lord, for eternity. Thank you for calling us together and allowing us to be a part of a people who worship you. Thank you, Lord, for those other congregations gathered in this community, but throughout the world, and together our voices are raised to you. Lord, hear our prayer. Speak to us. Allow us to speak for you and bring honor and glory to you. So work in our lives, Lord, that would be a reality even in this hour. And we come, Lord, offering our prayer in the name of Jesus, even praying as he taught us to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You will be seated and turn to number 97 and continue in our prayers and our singing praises unto God.
I just wanted to say one thing before we started. There's a word you may not know, diadem, and not to insult your intelligence, some of you may know. It's just another word for crown. So the point is that, you know, someone's walking down, they're going to place this crown on Jesus' head. But, of course, by the time we see him, he'll already be wearing it. But we look forward to that.
With the Apostles' Creed on page 716 in the hymnal or up on the board behind me. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Confession this morning is taken from Hebrews 10. By a single offering, Christ has perfected us for all time. Let us approach the time of confession with true hearts and full assurance that Christ's mercy is strong enough to bear all of our burdens. A prayer of confession is in unison if you would like to follow along. Merciful God, look upon us, your servants gathered here. Look upon us with grace and compassion. Hear our every need. Speak for our fearful hearts, that we may pour out our confessions and admit our wrongdoings. Loving God, you have heard our anxieties, our vexations, our worries, our hopes, our dreams. Breathe in us the spirit of forgiveness, that we may receive your grace and may walk in freedom and glorious hope. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Words of assurance are also from Hebrews 10. Hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for our God, the God of all ages, the one who has promised forgiveness, is faithful. In the name of Christ, you are forgiven. And if you'd like to turn to page 177, Ted will lead us in another song.
Thank you.
seated, please.
Our offertory sentence this morning is from Hebrews 13:16. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. If the ushers will please come forward.
Thank you.
children's time with Miss Andrea. And then we have children's church with Miss Jonna.
Good morning. Well, a couple weeks ago, I found a sign up at TSC that really suits me and some other people in here I can think of, but it said, horses are like potato chips. You can't have just one. And I pointed it out to my husband, and he agreed that that was definitely my sign. So, I've had a real opportunity in the last few weeks to teach my granddaughters some things about sharing. And it's so funny, Brother Larry says all the time how our messages fall in together, and I wanted to talk to you all about sharing this morning. And the very verse that I picked out today was the verse that we had for the offering about sharing and how it pleases God from Hebrews 13:16. But Kathleen a lot of mornings gets to go to the barn with me to feed. And what we do, we go and we feed each horse first their grain, and then when they get done with their grain, we give everybody their hay, and then we spend a few minutes with each one of them, loving on them and, you know, talking to them, and also spot the goats, and everybody gets their little bit of loving and little time shared with them and their food and everything, because we want everybody, you know, to get a little bit of food and sharing of loving and everything. Well, there's a little pony next door that the kids have all grown up and are big, and this little pony's just over there all by itself. And Kathleen and I saw it the other day, and it was sitting staring over the fence at us. So I said, well, come on, we'll go over and give her a little loving. So we did. We went over, and we loved on her for a little while and shared a little bit of time with that little pony. So that's gotten to be part of our routine now. We take care of our seven and the goat and Katie the dog and the cat, Oliver, and then we go over and we spend time with the pony. I don't know what the pony's name is. But anyway, we do that. And I've been trying to get across to my granddaughters that there's never a loss of love. And that's what our Lord and Savior did for us. And now that we're coming into the Thanksgiving season, which we should be Thanksgiving all year long, but now we're approaching the Thanksgiving season, we want to remember that there's never... You can never give too much love away. You can never give enough of yourself away. I've always found that the more you give, the more you get back. And it's a true statement. So remember that in Hebrews 13:16, the Lord's words say, don't forget to share, and I'm paraphrasing, but, you know, don't forget to share because it definitely pleases Him. So let's remember that as we go into the Thanksgiving season. And it's true. You can't just have one horse.
Yeah.
Our scripture lessons this morning are from Hebrews and 1 Peter. He had to be made like his brothers in every way in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people, because he himself suffered when he was tempted. He is able to help those who are being tempted. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet without sin. Such a high priest meets our needs, one who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. Unlike the other high priest, he does not need to offer sacrifices day after day, first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. He sacrificed for their sins once for all when he offered himself. For the law appoints as high priests men who are weak, but the oath which came after the law appointed the Son, who has been made perfect forever. He committed no sin and no deceit, and was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not relent. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. But his wounds you have been healed, for you were like sheep going astray. But now you have returned to the sheep and overseer of our souls. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Deborah. Thank you, praise band. I can say this hour and last hour for the special music. I was sitting here, and it just can't get much better than that, in my opinion. And not sure that you have to agree with my opinion, but I think you will with that. Thank you, folks. Beautiful music. Thank you, Deborah, for leading in the worship. A concern. We talk, this is not in your notes, I'll try to keep up today. After everything was printed, it began to weigh heavily on me that we have not taken sin seriously. Maybe some events in the week or in the past few weeks that we just are kind of flippant about sin and the seriousness of it. So we'll start with a concern and then get to the grace of God. We've talked so much about the grace of God, and I'm glad that we have, and I want to continue. And sometimes, and there's a biblical evidence of it also, that people take the grace of God just kind of like, well, he owes it to us. Well, he don't owe it to us. He don't owe it to us. And we misuse the grace of God. The concern being that we do not take sin seriously. The song, that was Jesus Paid It All. It was number 210 that the choir, that the praise band brought to us. And sin has left a crimson stain. And I'm not sure that we comprehend the seriousness of a crimson stain on our life, on our soul. And I say this for young people, and I said it in the first hour, and had most of our young people were present for that, or many of them were, but for you, but for old people too. Alabama fans, University of Alabama fans, certainly they don't take seriously the word crimson, because they are the Crimson Tide, you know. But from a spiritual standpoint, a biblical standpoint, a crimson stain is not so glorious. It's something that Jesus came to take away. And it has nothing to do with the glory of the Crimson Tide. That's a totally different situation, okay? And I think you knew that and know that, but I needed to say that. Sin has become so everyday and so common that some people are kind of proud of it. Or the other part of this is people who use or try to use God's mercy and grace as delivered to us in Jesus as an excuse for sin. That, oh, Jesus is going to forgive me. Jesus died to pay for this sin, so I will go ahead and commit it. Folks, if we're thinking that way, we're thinking wrongly. I can do about what I want to, no matter how bad it is, if I want to do bad, and Jesus is going to forgive me. He does come with forgiveness. Jesus died to forgive us. The Romans had a problem. They, sixth chapter of Romans, they kept saying, or Paul wrote concerning it, many of Paul's writings, can't prove that this one was, or I won't even try, but many of Paul's writings were to teach a divine lesson, a lesson about honoring God. Many of Paul's writings were written to correct a problem or a situation. Speak to a situation. Romans 6 could have been to a situation if it was just to teach a great lesson, spiritual lesson, that's okay too. But they were talking about the grace, the mercy, the forgiveness of God. And they said, well, if we sin more, that gives God an opportunity to extend or expend more mercy toward us. So we just go ahead and sin so that God can show more grace and keep him busy. Well, God got other things to be busy about. And Paul wrote in the second chapter, God forbid that you think like this. And I think he was writing, I think that emphasis is there. God forbid that anybody would think that we can sin more just so God can show more grace to us. But the society that we live in seems to think that, if they're even worried about the consequences of sin without forgiveness. That may be our situation. Young people, middle-aged people, and old people just keep on sinning. And are they claiming the forgiveness, the mercy, the grace of God for this? So twice in that chapter, the sixth chapter of Romans, in verse 2 and in verse 16, was it 16? Verse 15, Paul writes the words, or has the words in the King James Version, God forbid that we would have such thinking, because he says, folks, if you're a Christian, you have died to that sin. And then the letter from Peter, 1 Peter 2:24, That one's right there before you, if you will. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree. Thank you, Lord, for that. But what's the next phrase? So that. And we fail to get to the so that in so many instances we have. So that we might die to sin and live for righteousness, or live right lives, holy lives, lives that would honor God and would be bring glory to Him. Not that that we would live lives that people would look at us and say, and just this week, I asked a lady, why did you drop out of church? And she said, the hypocrisy that I saw in it. The hypocrisy that I saw in it. People talking and acting one way in the house of the Lord, but get out in the community and live for the devil. Live for the devil. And folks, it doesn't just hurt us when we sin. I use the illustration of my speeding ticket that I caught the other day. My speeding doesn't just hurt me and get me a ticket. People that see me, they say, well, the preacher got one. He's speeding. So it affects those people that see me. And this lady, in her 40s, she said, the hypocrisy. People talking one way in church and then going out and living another way. I lived in an apartment complex in Memphis when I was a seminary student, and on two seminary students, and sometimes three, sometimes four, on one end of the garden. And then on the other end, there were some young, our age, early 20s businessmen, I guess. I'm not sure what they did for a living. But they would—they didn't have anybody that was observing them. They didn't have, evidently, they were not thinking too much about God, but they were church boys. But they would talk about, well, we'll go out and have a ball tonight, as they saw it being a ball, a good time, and then we'll go to confession tomorrow before we go to communion. Planning to go out and live for the devil. And that hadn't stopped. That was 40 years ago, but that hadn't stopped. We haven't gotten any better, I hoped, in my teen years, that as things went on, that the world would improve. Well, if anything, it hasn't gotten any better, has it? I don't know if it's gotten any worse. Some people want to say that, but it's pretty bad way back then. But we haven't improved spiritually too much. A segment, yes, but there's always been a segment of devoted, dedicated people. The first century Christians and the 21st century people, Christians who go by the name of God and saying, oh, God's going to forgive me. Folks, God forbid that we would think that way. Paul in the Romans 6 talk about we have died to sin. The Apostle Peter, not only did Paul say, the Apostle Peter came right along and said, we've died to sin. It no longer has control over us. But it does. I've described it over and over of walking across a foot log. And some of you will understand this better than others. You got a creek or a ditch, and you got a little bridge across it. We call it a foot log, and we can only walk across. It's a round tree, you know, that's fallen. And we're walking across, and we've played on it all day, and there's mud on it, and there's water on it. And some people walk across it. They're very careful. They don't want to fall off into sin, the creek or the ditch being representative of sin. So they're very careful, and every once in a while they will still slip and fall, but they don't plan it. It's an accident that they slide off of the log and end up mired up in muck, We're mired up in sin. Some of us go through life and we are trying to make it and not falter. And in the 7th chapter of Romans, Paul talks about this. We try not to sin, but we find out we're sinning. The good that we want to do, we find out we can't do it. So that's pretty much life. There are times that we're going to slip. But there are others, and folks, hopefully this is not you, and I'm just seeing other people out in the world. Maybe I'm preaching to the choir this morning. If that's happened, if that's so good, good, good. But let's be a witness out there. Others are walking across that foot log and they get out there and they'll say, oh, and they jump in and just say, I'm just going to live here in this sinful world. And maybe on my deathbed, I can claim Jesus' mercy and grace, His blood. Maybe I'll have time to do that. You know, we talk about when we're really trying to encourage somebody, we says, you know, you can get salvation between the saddle and the ground. You know, fall off the horse and say, oh Lord, I'm trusting you on the way. But why would anybody want to wait till they're on their deathbed before they turn to the Lord? So living for Jesus, a life that is true and honorable, etc., etc. Okay, saying that, let's talk about the mercy and the grace of God. Jesus came to save us from that sin, and if we trust Him along the way, young, middle-aged, or old, before that deathbed event, He saved that thief on the cross. But who wants to wait that long? He's called us to serve Him. Sin is attractive for a while, for a season, but then it gets to be terrible. And I related the first hour. I thought back to my growing up years. I grew up around a lot of drunks. And I would see them when they were getting drunk, and I would see them after they had been drunk all night. And man, it might have been fun back there on Saturday night or whatever the night was, but Sunday morning, they were praying for mercy. And I've heard them say, Lord, just get me through this and I'll never do it again. Well, they were lying when they said that, though. But they were, oh, I won't even use the word that if I wasn't, if I was out of the pulpit, I'd use it, but they were so sick and so miserable. And not only for that, but they would go out. Well, okay. Jesus. You get the message, huh? Jesus. What do we know about Jesus? Many things we know about Jesus, His teacher. Probably He did more about teaching than any other thing that He did. He's also a healer, but He didn't heal everybody. But He healed those who were brought to Him, those who were in need, possibly healing people so that they didn't ever come and listen. He could talk about eternal things, salvation through faith in Him, other miracles, feeding the hungry, etc., etc., etc. We've got the example of that to go feed the hungry, etc. His most important work, Jesus' most important work was to be a Savior. He said of Himself, the Son of Man, Luke 19:10, the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Who was He talking about? Himself. Some have said that was His favorite or most often used description of Himself. Son of Man, Son of God. He spoke of Himself being Son of Man, fully man and fully human, to seek and to save that which was lost. He's talking about those separated from God, those lost in sin, those alienated from God because of their sin. The problem, man's sin, the result was alienation from God or being separated from God. And I think I've probably dwelt on that enough that it ought to be ingrained, but if it is, you've just been affirmed this morning. Alienation from God. Many passages, though, tell us about Jesus being our Savior. You have your notes there, and I just listed a few. Romans 5, 6, and 11, Romans 8, 1 through 4, Ephesians 1, 3 through 10, 1 Peter 1, 3 through 9, 2, 21 through 25, 1 John 4, 9. And then we haven't even touched on the Gospels. The Gospel of John, John 3, and read that, about Jesus coming to be our Savior. Being alienated from God, God acted. God is interested in His people. Anytime His people are lost, are mired up in sin, separated from Him, He desires them to be in fellowship with Him. So, being alienated from God, He acted to restore us to that fellowship. One word is reconcile. Jesus, the reconciling God, and our confession of faith uses that word over and over. He came to reconcile us, or God sent Jesus to reconcile us to Himself. He sent His reconciling love through Jesus. Through Jesus, our sins are forgiven. If we get forgiven, it's going to be through Jesus. No other way to the Father, no other way to forgiveness, no other way given under heaven which men may be saved except Jesus the Christ. Jesus. Truly human and truly divine. You say, how could that be? God can do anything He wants to. If you want to question it, say it's impossible. Well, virgin birth. You want to question it? God can do anything He wants to. If He can take a little dust and make a person and breathe into him the breath and life, He can send His Son, truly human, truly born of woman, but from God. Conceived by the Holy Spirit. Somebody asked me the other day, how did God get begotten? Or when was He begotten? Wow, what a question. I kind of made a stab at trying to answer it, but I didn't do very good. Jesus suffered sin and death for all. He was raised from death. He ascended, and now He makes intercession. The Holy Spirit calls us to faith, and the Holy Spirit sustains us in our faith if we allow Him to. I trust that we will. I trust that we will. In Christ, there is no condemnation. Christ died and rose again, and even at the right hand of God, making intercession for us when we sin. The story of the prodigal son. That son went off and he had such a great time, he thought. He was hooping it up. Is that a good term? Do you understand that? He was having a ball. He was laying around with the harlots, and I'm sure he was just thinking, man, I'm living now. Finally got out of the confines of my father's rules. Well, the son represents sinful man. The father represents God. But finally, that sin, that good time, turned sour. Turned sour. And he ended up a good Jewish boy who had turned bad, trying to be bad. He ended up in the pig pen. And there's no worse place that a good Jewish boy could be than in a pig pen, even a rebellious one. They don't mess with pork. They're ceremoniously unclean. But he finally, and I believe it's not written in there, but I believe it's the Spirit spoke to himself, and he came to himself. He came to himself, and he realized what he had given up, and what he thought was such a great life. And then it, as I said, turned sour. It wasn't so great anymore. So he determined to go home. And God received him back into the family. The prodigal son, Luke chapter 15. The father, representing God, saw him when he was afar off. And that makes us believe that he was looking for the boy to come home. He kept looking and waiting and hoping. And when it's God, he sent Jesus to bring us home. Where are you in your relationship with God? Do you need to come for forgiveness and say, "Here I am, Lord. I haven't lived as I should have"? It's you and God know. Maybe some of your friends have observed and think, but you and God know. How are you going to respond to God's mercy and love this morning? The song is number 81. It's "What a Wonderful Savior." That, you know that song, "What Wondrous Love Is This?" It's so wondrous that God would love us, even when we rebel against Him. But then He sent a wonderful Savior to save us. Let's stand together, if you will, and we'll sing verse 1 and 4. Verse 1 and 4. Maybe you have a public response to make this morning to God's mercy and grace. We know You to be the sure foundation, eternal. Thank You that we can cling to You, but actually that You will hold us close unto Yourself. Thank You for saving us, sustaining us in our fellowship relationship with You. In the precious, wonderful name of Jesus we pray. Amen and amen.